Boko Haram has threatened to sell the kidnapped girls into slavery. That would suggest there's a market for slaves in Africa's Sahel region, which you might be surprised to hear actually does exist. New York Times columnist Nick Kristof has campaigned to highlight the issue of modern-day slavery in Africa. You focus your attention on Sudan and South Sudan, but just tell us how far slavery extends across the entire Sahel region, which goes from Senegal, really, almost all the way to Ethiopia.
Yeah, there's human trafficking across not only the Sahel, but in West Africa itself, in countries like Benin, Ghana, and so on. So there is certainly a market. It tends to be for younger children. And one of the constraints that Boko Haram would face in this case is that, people are willing to buy a small child because that child is not going to be able to escape. If you buy an educated 17-year-old girl and pay money for her, then she is going to be much more of a flight risk. And, that's why it tends to be illiterate peasant boys and girls who are quite young who tend to get kidnapped and sold.
Can you generalize a bit about how this market works? I mean, literally the market. I mean, we think of slavery in the South, the pre-Civil War, and people being sold off. I mean, is that what happens in this part of the Sahel?
Yeah, it tends to be somewhat less sexual slavery than it is in some other parts of the world, and somewhat more kind of labor trafficking. So it'll be somebody who needs workers, and they will buy a small child, for example, for fishing or something else, or in other cases, for a wife. And they will, literally shell out money, and there's usually an intermediary. In some cases, the parents know about it and they're desperate for money. In other cases, the child is just kidnapped or the parents have been promised the child will get some kind of a more promising opportunity, and everybody is tricked.
Well, what is driving this? Is it economic? Is it power?
It's both, and it's also a lack of education, a lack of literacy, a lack of knowledge about the world, and indifference on the part of police. So when a child is kidnapped and is off in some village working in inhumane conditions, that child, if he or she is uneducated, may not realize that this is illegal, that they may not speak the local language, so it may be very difficult to get away. Even if they can, they don't know where to go. They don't know how to get home. And so they become prisoners of circumstances. Or if it's a girl who's been married off, they may feel that once they have been raped by their new quote-unquote husband, that they no longer will be able to find a husband or a partner ever again, that they've been shamed for life and that their other opportunities are destroyed. So all these ways of thinking, if you will, imprison people and make the system vaguely enforceable.
I mean, slavery as a practice is centuries old in this part of the world. I was in Mali a number of years ago with two musicians, fairly modern thinking people. One of them was from the north of Mali, the other from the south, and the one from the north said, you're my slave. He was joking, but this is this old cultural thing. Do you think the cultural link to slavery is going to be a tough one to erase?
I think that the cultural one in most of the region is easier to erase than the sort of economic and other forces. I mean, people don't necessarily think of it as slavery, but women are devalued, wives are devalued, peasants, especially from some social classes, are completely devalued and are seen as not having rights. And the legal system just doesn't work if you are poor. And so it's those kinds of the infrastructure of society that is lacking in those places.
So do you think this threat from Boko Haram to sell these schoolgirls, is it a credible one? Or could some of these girls have already been sold off in a place like Chad or Cameroon?
They could have been, and it is a credible threat. But I'm hoping that it isn't going to work as smoothly to sell these girls as Boko Haram might think.
The New York Times, Nick Kristof, thank you very much for your time.
Sure, my pleasure.